Let me read you a scripture. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 8 through 10, and it says, "And other fell on good ground." What kind of ground? Good ground. "And sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold." I need you to say a hundredfold back to me. Hundredfold. "And when he had said these things, he cried." The Lord is passionate about this. He cried out. When he said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be? Why are you so excited?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing," now look at this, "they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand." The Lord tells us very emphatically and clearly, very passionately, that a major thing that separates a Christ follower, a believer, from a lost person and a non-follower of Christ is the Christ follower's ability to understand mysteries. It's interesting, as I read this and as I looked over this, you know, he says, "They might not see." They might not. No, they might not understand. You see, if you can't hear right, if you can't hear what the Lord is saying to you, you might understand the parable, you might understand what the story's about, and you might get some truth from it. But it will never get in you what the mystery is. The mystery will never be yours. Jesus says, "I make you a deal. Here's my deal. If you will hear my word, if you'll hear it, I'll give you the mysteries. I'll open up the mysteries of the planet. I'll open up the mysteries of time, the mysteries of the kingdom to you. That's my deal. Or, if you don't want my deal and you want to get it all on your own, you can just be dumb." So he asks us, deal or no deal? It's all about hearing. Hearing. It was interesting to me how many times the Lord talks about hearing. He's constantly talking about hearing and how we hear. You remember when he did the Sermon on the Mount, he taught the Sermon on the Mount, and he does all of this teaching, and he comes to the conclusion of that wonderful teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "I'm going to tell you how you can relate to this." He says there was two guys that are going to build houses. And he says one was building it upon what he heard and did, and the other one on just what he heard. "And the wise man built his house upon the rock." The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built. Okay, we got it. He says the difference is, when the storms come, they both face the identical same storms. But the difference is that the guy who faced the storms, that had built his house upon the rock, upon the things that he had heard and did, his house stood. But the guy who built his house on just what he heard, his house collapsed. Now, he's not talking about houses here. He's talking about lives. You know, we can attribute lives that crumble, lives that collapse, to people that don't hear and do. How's your life? How are the lives of people that you know? Are they standing stern and hard in storms of life, or are they collapsing? Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, and you see, it's a mystery. Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, and he says, you know, John the Baptist, talking to his disciples, he says, John the Baptist was the forerunner. He's the prophetic Elijah that was to come before me. And when he said this, this is what he said. He says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, I'm saying something that you're beyond just words. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." you know, you can hear what God's doing in the earth right now. How many believe God's doing something in the earth right now? See, in his days, it was John the Baptist and him coming through. But what's going on right now in the earth? Can you hear what God's doing in your earth right now? Can you hear it? He's doing something. You see, I know what God's doing right now in the earth, and it's not the end of time. Well, what God is doing in the earth right now is riding through the nations on the white horse. And his vestures are dipped in blood, and on his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not the end of time. It's time for the nations to submit to Jesus Christ. You can know what's going on, but it's a mystery. Or you can just be dumb. Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they looked at him. What do you mean? You want us to be careful of what the food they make, the bread they cook? He says, here's what he said. He says, having ears, hear you not? You can't hear, you don't understand this? Yeah, and a lot of people still today don't understand that. You see, because what he was talking about is be careful who you listen to teachings. Because you see, if you get into the right teachings, they'll teach you mysteries. Be careful how you hear. Jesus sent out 70, and they came back after having great results. And the Bible says that Jesus rejoiced. Rejoiced. And then he saw what had happened, and this is what he says. He says, many prophets and kings have desired to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Do you know that we are living in a time when people would have loved to have lived? Don't you think that your great-grandparents would have loved to have lived now? We're living in the greatest time ever. But can you hear it? Can you hear why you're here? Can you hear what you're here to do? Can you hear the time? It's a mystery. Jesus talked about commitment and counting the cost. He says, you know, you don't go to war until you see if you can win. You don't build a building until you find out if you can pay for it. Right? He says, count the cost. Before you commit to me, before you decide you're going to follow me, make sure that you're not going to put your hand to the plow and then turn around and go back. And in context with that, here's what he says. This was so interesting to me. He says, talking about commitment, he says, then salt is good, but if salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. Not fit for what? The dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I'm not going to get into this one, but I just want you to know, Jesus doesn't think a person that has committed to follow him and then turn around and go back is worth much. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus, debating with the Pharisees, said, why do you not understand my speech? Why don't you understand what I'm talking about? Even because you cannot hear my words? Ye are of your father the devil. Watch now. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Folks, we are supposed to be able to hear. Can you hear God? He's speaking, and it's given to you to hear. Jesus said this in John chapter 10 and verse 24. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus didn't pull punches If you know God, you hear Him. Do you hear God, or do you hear people and all the voices around you? What do you emphasize to hear? What do you really want to hear? Do you just want to hear the preachers on television, or do you really want to hear the Word of God? Do you just hear what this guy says or that guy says, or do you really want to hear what the Word of God has to say? I heard read it actually. It's a pretty cool story. Thought I'd tell you. It's funny. There was this older couple that were going from Memphis and going to Little Rock, Arkansas. An older couple, and so he was driving and got pulled over by State Patrol. And State Patrol came up to him, and he rolled his window down, and the State Patrol said, "Sir, do you know how fast you were going?" Now, his wife's hard of hearing sitting over there, and she says, "What did he say?" He said, "He asked me if I knew I was speeding." He said, "I need to see your driver's license and your identification, your insurance, and registration." So he gets it out, and he says, "See, you're not from here." He said, "No, sir, we're from Memphis." She looked at him, and she said, "What'd you say?" "Said, I said we're from Memphis." Okay. So police officer says, "You know, the meanest woman I ever met was from Memphis." She said, "What'd he say?" He said, "He says he thinks he knows you." Now, that's not what he said. But to hear it right, you got to hear correctly. What do you hear? Do you just hear what's going on, or do you hear correctly? We need to hear correctly, right? I spent this week making a video, and it's to help us understand this parable that Jesus spoke here. Because what I want you to know is that what this parable is really about, it's about dirt. Dirt. I'm going to say some things in there about dirt. But what's interesting is Jesus uses dirt to teach us how to hear. Did you know that dirt hears? It does. So I want to watch this video. It's about 12 minutes long. Then we'll come back and we'll finish up the lesson.
"Another fell on ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.'" The Lord makes a deal with us, and He tells us in His deal that if you will hear correctly, I will give you the ability to understand the mysteries of life, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Others are going to hear something, and others might even get the truth of something, but to those that hear correctly, they get the mysteries. They understand the mysteries of life. Imagine that. Imagine understanding the mysteries of life, of how life really works, of how to be successful. That's the Lord's deal. He makes a deal with us. Or you can refuse His deal and be dumb. You can receive His deal and be smart and have understanding beyond imagination. Or you can refuse His deal and just be dumb. Deal or no deal. I want to talk about understanding the parable of the seed, the sower today. The Bible says in the book of Mark, in Mark's account of this, that the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him what the parable meant. And He said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. This parable is the door to understanding all parables. This is the door to understanding all mysteries. This is the most important parable that Jesus ever spoke. If we don't understand this parable, we'll never understand any parable. Why is this parable so important? What is so cool? What is so great about this particular parable? Well, you see, the importance of this parable is that it tells us how to really hear. What's very interesting here is that Jesus uses dirt. Jesus uses dirt to teach us the parable. And he says that dirt can hear. That's what's interesting about it, is Jesus uses dirt to teach us how to hear and understand. Luke 8:11 says this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. In the parable, the sower threw seed on all types of ground. It fell on all different sorts of ground. And Jesus said these were like different people. The word is the seed. The word is constant. The word never changes. It's the soil that changed. Jesus sees us as ground. We see people as pretty or not so pretty, as slim or not so slim, maybe are successful and not successful. But Jesus sees us as ground. Each of us is a type of ground. Now that might sound a little strange that we're dirt. But what the Lord is saying is something so beyond the way we think. Let me just ask you a question. Of what did God make Adam? Of the dust of the earth. You see, we really are ground. And as the seed of the Word of God comes into us, it will produce in our lives in different ways according to the type of ground we are. I said that Jesus taught us how we correctly hear by the ground. So now let me show you what I mean. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Jesus said that some of the seed fell by the wayside. It fell not on the good prepared ground, but it fell where animals could walk on it, where people could walk on it. It fell, in this case, where cars could drive on it. It fell in a place where the birds of the air could come and devour it or take it away. When Jesus explained that, he says what that really means is the devil took it from you. The seed was taken so that they could not believe and be saved. You cannot believe and be saved without the seed of the Word of God getting into our lives. People have preconceived ideas about the Word and about this or about that. And it just as it was in the days of Jesus, as he was teaching people, they had their preconceived ideas. Though he was spreading the word upon them, they still rejected it, and that was Jesus Christ. We've got to be careful in our own lives that when the word of God is sown upon us, that we don't allow people to walk on it, to walk on the word. If it's the word of God, we need to protect it. We need to get it into our hearts. We don't need to let people come and walk on it. We don't need to let the enemy, the devil, come and take it away from us. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. The rock is here. It looks okay, but there's just not enough dirt, not enough soil, not enough ground to cause the seed to grow. It's only a couple of inches, if that much, of soil on it. You got to get that rock out of your life so that the seed can grow. A lot of people will hear a word about like giving or tithing, and what they'll do is they'll apply that immediately. They see the principle. Things will go good for a while, but then they'll want something else, and so what they'll do is, well, we'll forget about that one. And then all of a sudden, the seed dies. So many things in the Word of God are that way. Until we get the things out, the rocks out, and allow the roots to go down deep where they can get moisture, we're never going to really understand the mysteries, and we're never going to have the productive life that Jesus wants us to have. Jesus also said that some of the seed fell among thorns or weeds, and it grew, but it was choked out. And Jesus explained what he meant in verse 14. He says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Jesus said that these are the seeds that fall upon the soil that have weeds and thorns, and they choke the seed, the Word of God, out of lives. They heard it. They even began to grow. They even began to mature. It looked like they were going to make the trip. But what happened is they got more interested in other things. We watched their lives grow. We watched their lives increase. We watched their lives begin to produce. It looks like they're going to make it. Then all of a sudden, they're not around as much as they used to be. We don't see them. We don't hear from them. They stop ministering. They stop supporting. The next thing you know is they're choked out, and they're gone. Jesus says that's what happens to this kind of soil when the seeds fall upon a ground there where the thorns are, and the people refuse to pull out the weeds. It chokes the seed of the Word of God. "And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Jesus said that some of the seed fell on good ground. Jesus used the ground to show us what he really meant by hearing. Hearing the Word of God is more than coming to church on Sunday and sitting in a chair and having the Word thrown all over you. Hearing is more than letting the devil take it away from you. Hearing is more than getting a real quick burst and a big happy moment, but then when things get hot, just drying up and dying. Hearing the Word of God is more than even growing some, but allowing things of the world to choke you and choke it out of you, where you revert back to your old ways. That's not hearing the Word of God. You may have some truth, but you haven't produced what good ground is. And if you're good ground, and when you really hear the Word of God, you continue to reproduce it. When you really hear the Word of God, you produce 100-fold. In other words, you don't just produce one time. You produce it again and again and again and again. And what is so great about it is when you get this mystery, you'll get another mystery, and then you'll get another mystery, and then you'll get another mystery. You're going to get more and more mysteries. But Jesus says the good ground is the ground that can produce 100-fold.
It was cold. It was snow flurries. My nose was running. The ground was froze. You see me try to squeeze that lump of dirt? It's frozen. But I just wanted to do that. I just felt like that would show us something. And I want to just say one thing, and then I want to move on from that particular thought. But I want to make sure that we understood that it said that it produced 100-fold. 100-fold. What's Jesus really saying here? It produces repeatedly. It's not just one seed just makes 100. No, when something comes into our life, it repeatedly produces and it repeatedly causes an increase in our life. And if you're good ground, then your life is producing repeatedly over and over and over again, not just one time. It continuously is producing. So I want to bring this down to just one quick point here. If your life is not producing, if your life is collapsing, if your life isn't where it needs to be, if you can't hear the things of God, if you don't know what's going on in the world today, if you're not hearing God, I want you to step out and figure out in what part of that picture you face and where you sit and where your life is today. Is it us on the pathway, so where the birds and the devil just take the seed away from you immediately? You got to have the Word of God to be saved. That's what Jesus said there. He said they didn't receive it and they couldn't be saved. You got to have the Word of God in your life to get saved. You need the Word of God in your life. Or is it on the rocky soil? Is it on the rocks where it's just so shallow that as soon as a little pressure comes in your life that you got a good word and boy, that's great, I'm going to do this, and next thing you know, you dried up and you're gone away? Or is it weedy? You know, is your life weedy? The cares of the world and things like that just choke the Word of God out of your life? Or is it good soil? Is it good soil that going to produce 100-fold? Where are you? And if your life isn't productive and you're not hearing God, you step back out of that picture and you evaluate, because you're not good soil. I can't say it any clearer, can I? Tell me how I can say that clearer. If your life isn't productive, you're not good soil. And you need to stand back and de-rock or de-weed or start doing some plowing on that pathway soil so that you can receive the Word of God into your life. Now, Jesus wasn't done here when he just told this parable about hearing. This whole chapter, it was so interesting to me. This whole chapter was about being able to hear. He goes on, and let me read you this in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 16, the very next verse, after he talks about the seed and the sower. He says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear." What in the world has a candlestick got to do with hearing? What he's talking about, of course, is the lamp. What is he talking about? You got to have ears to hear. It's a mystery. He says, you got to take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has heard the word, whosoever has gotten the mystery, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, whoever hasn't gotten the mystery, hasn't heard it, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. What in the world is he talking about here? What's a lamp got to do with hearing? Well, here it is. You see, when your life becomes productive 100-fold, When you start repeatedly being successful and you start repeatedly being productive in your life, all of a sudden you start attracting people to you. It's like you're put up on a lampstand. It's like all of a sudden your life starts illuminating and people start gravitating to you to see what you know. You know something they don't know. When you have a successful life, it's like you're an illumination. People want to come to you and help me understand this. They come to you for wisdom. They come to you for guidance. They want to know what you know. And it's like you're all of a sudden. A seed doesn't just grow out in a secret place or in the dark, does it? Does it? If you plant a seed, it's going to grow in public. And you're a lamp, and all of a sudden you begin to illuminate. And what he says there is that what you've got, you'll get more. Once you begin to hear the Word of God and you begin to grasp the mysteries and your life becomes productive, you'll get more mysteries and you'll get more productivity. And then soon you'll get every area of your life producing good fruit, producing a hundredfold. You're going to have prosperity in every single area of your life because you have put the Word of God into you. And then he says, if you've got this, you're going to get more. But if you don't get it, even what you think you've got is going to be taken from you. Jesus still wasn't done. He talked about the seed and he talked about the dirt and he talked about the lamp. He still wasn't done talking about hearing. He had cried this out. What's interesting, as I looked at it, it was an insight. In Luke chapter 8, verse 19, the next verse says this: then came to him his mother, this is Mary, and his brethren, Jude and James. We know there was like six kids in the family. His mother and his brethren, and could not come at him because of the press. The media was there. That's not what it means, but it probably does. The press of people is what it's really talking about, because of the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Jesus said, the ones to which he is truly related are they which hear the word of God and do it. If you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you got to hear the word of God and do it. If you want a relationship with him, you're just not going to get it coming in here on Sunday and listen to me talk. You're going to get some word. You're going to get some truth. But he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. If you want a relationship with Christ, you're just not going to pray a prayer. Folks, it's a mystery. You got to get in that word. How much time do you spend reading the word? How well do you know it? What about it can you tell people? Are you a light? You see, if we read the Word, we understand the mysteries. If we read the Word, we have a relationship with Him. Most of you know my son Lance. He's out at a church now in Oklahoma City. And the senior pastor there is Craig Rochelle. Now, we think this is accurate. We may have to do a little more search before I put this upon the internet, because it'll be checked out, I'm sure, eventually. But we think we're accurate on this. But we think that Craig Crochelle, who is the senior pastor out there, was being interviewed, and he was asked the question, how many Christ followers come to your church on Sunday? Now, out there, I called Lance and I got him to send me the exact numbers. At attendance last weekend, there was 18,117 people that attended church. 262 people came to Christ. That was last week. But when Craig Crochelle was asked the question, or whomever was asked this question, we know the question was asked and we know this is the correct answer that was given. But when they was asked the question and he gave the response, how many Christ followers do you have attending on Sunday? His answer was, not many. Oh, I've got 18,000 people coming. But how many Christ followers? Not many. How many people really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And the only way you're really going to have one is through the Word. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that really matters. I want to make this point. My point is this, is Jesus is really only related to, and you are only really related to Him through the Word of God. We know who this is, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll tell him. Yes, sir. That was the Lord. He said to tell you, here's his deal. If you will hear his word, he'll open to you the mysteries of time. He'll open to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You'll have wisdom beyond your belief. You'll be a wise person. If you will hear His voice and read His Word, you'll become like a lamp. You'll become knowledgeable and people will come and your life will become very, very productive in every area. You'll begin producing repeatedly again and again and again. If you'll hear His Word, you will have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a very personal one. One like you've never experienced before. Now, you don't have to take this case. You can go on trying to get your own. Try to do it your way and just be dumb. Never understand the mysteries. Never have production. And what you think you have, you're going to lose. And you will never, ever have a relationship like you could have with Jesus Christ. Deal or no deal. Let's pray. Father, Your Word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. It leads us through life so that we can have true productivity. Now, Lord, I just ask You now that every person here today is going to go out with wisdom that they didn't come in with, understanding that they can understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Understanding that they can be extremely wise, smart people. Understanding that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ beyond their wildest dreams. They can hear Your voice. And I ask You, Lord God, in Jesus' name, to bless them. Is your head still bowed and your eyes still closed? Nobody's looking around. Say, Delbert, I really am convicted about this. I really want to get into the Word. I need to slice me out some time. I need to dig up some rocks in my life. I need to pull some weeds that have been choking it out of me. And I really, really, really want to become that good soil that repeatedly is successful. I really want to help people when they come and ask me questions. I want to have the answers for their lives. And I want to continue to prosper so that not only I prosper, but I leave something here for my children. I really want to do well. And I really see that I need to get into that Word to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you slip your hand up for me and say, yeah, I got to do some work. I see your hands. Hold them up just a second. Let me pray for you. Father, these are asking You to help them. Lord, give them now the power, the strength to get the rocks out, to plow the pathway up. Lord God, to pull the weeds and the things that are choking it out of them. And Father God, let that seed go into their lives so that they can produce 100-fold. And I ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Eyes still closed. You've gotten away from the Lord. You're not where you need to be. You want a relationship with Him. I've told you how to do it today. That's you today. You've got away from the Lord, but you're saying, Delbert, I really need to get back closer to the Lord. Maybe you've never received Him at all in your life, but you want to. Would you slip your hand up for me? Let me see your hands. I see your hands in the back. Any others? Well, any others? Any others? Hold them up. 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 Amen. Father, I bless them right now. Lord, I just ask You now that they've heard this Word, Lord, that they can have a relationship with You beyond anything that they've had in the past. And I ask You to draw them now into the kingdom of God. And everybody here says, Amen. God bless you. Stand with me.